All right, Cole. What are you doing this time?
Well, Gary, I'm going to administer myself an electric shock, and you're going to have to revive me.
I know how to do that.
Okay. Okay.
Okay, let me Google real quick. How to revive Cole. Okay. Nope, different spelling. Hold on. Do I have to put it in, quotes? Boolean, how to revive Cole minus Cole spelled the other way? Does that do it? Hey, do you know how to do this?
Me?
Yeah.
It's been a while since I've heard English. How long has it been for you?
I don't know how long it takes to Google something. Just like
Wow. I've been away for years. Wow.
Oh, interesting.
Crazy land. Okay. I didn't see anything random. Can you like I don't know, just look like CPR, like chest compressions or something like that?
Okay, let me Google. Can I Google those?
Okay. I'm gonna zap myself again.
Okay. Okay, chest compressions. Okay, so one every second. The staying alive, the beat. All right, let me try this. All right. Hup, 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 hup. Reason to Cole. Come on back, Cole. Hey, it worked. Should I stop now? Does that hurt or does it feel good?
You definitely broke my ribs, but that just kind of happens all the time.
Answer the question. Did it hurt or does it feel good?
It feels good. It feels good to be alive. Okay. What was the magical, your dream, the song that you sang, and for my dream, I was in a Technicolor land filled with lights and
there was,
I saw my spirit.
Flatlined.
Yeah, no, I saw a world beyond, but just, it was all kinds of disco and just a natural land full of animals and the bears were dancing, Gary, disco bears.
Dancing bears? The Russian circus thing?
I think you're thinking of ballet.
Yeah, I'm thinking of dancing bears.
Yeah.
There you
Cole Ross,
and it's time for a new catchphrase. it's done. The age of the Griddler is done.
Okay,
no joke lasts forever.
You're right.
It's the Abject Suffering, home of the new catchphrase. What do we got? Let's figure it out.
you said that with all of the confidence of, hey Cole, I've got a new character for you.
No, it definitely seemed like it, but I got nothing for you today.
Okay.
In any respect, so okay. I just want to set that expectation.
Let's say by the end of this we're gonna have a new catchphrase.
That is a great catchphrase. So Abject Suffering, by the end of this we're gonna have a new catchphrase.
That's where from 2016 we're gonna have a better sign off.
So by the end of this we're gonna have a better catchphrase.
Yeah.
And can we still play? Say we play bad games, so you don't have to.
I think so.
Is Big Earwolf gonna come after us?
No, I think they're gonna come. The second we stop doing that, they fucking bite our stees.
Yeah, well, no, that stees has been bit, my friend. That specific stees. But I'm not actually mad at them. Somebody got very mad at me on Twitter for like having a feeling about that.
Yeah, no.
And I very rare, like I can handle Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Most times I got very mad and muted like 17. You're not. No, I didn't mute. I muted everyone involved and then like even people I liked and then like later rethought it. But very mad. I'm like, fine, fuck this.
Yeah.
Like, I think I might have said that. Like I was
If I'm going to do the time, I'm going to do the crime.
Yeah.
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 Anyway,
this is not the popular Earwolf show. This is Abject Suffering instead.
Yeah. Brand new show. Hot on the scene.
Yep.
Yep.
And we're talking about Disco Bear.
Disco Bear. This is a patron demand by, our buddy, Doug Leaf.
Hey, Doug.
Yeah. It says this is a 10-minute weird non-game experience developed by a friend of mine at USC.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
It is a like a little cartoon.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. So this is just a Unity web game mm-hmm. about a bear who dances disco, and there is love and loss and no gameplay to be had.
Nope. Yeah, it's just kind of a fun little. It's like this is in that. This is a joke.
Yes, this is in the senpai Ready Player Fuck kind of lane a little bit.
I would say there's less to it.
Yes.
Than that, like essentially, you know, you just kind of it's almost has like a slideshow energy to it.
Uh huh.
Like I almost feel like playing this is like playing PowerPoint.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm just hitting the right key to kind of make things happen until the game continues.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I'm not just doing that. I'm engaging with the fakie dancing, but like, yeah. I just mean you can just do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like it feels a little bit like a PowerPoint.
Yeah.
So it's a little, I'd say this like less, you know, like two orders of magnitude below Sonic Dreams collection,
mm-hmm.
one order of magnitude beneath the Senpai.
Right.
You know, Ready Player Fuck.
Mm-hmm.
And is this kind of, like I definitely play things that this compares to.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think. It's like almost like you got to burn the rope.
Yeah, like that feels meta. Similar. Yeah,
yeah. No meta commentary. It's just like a cute little joke,
mm-hmm.
and it is funny. Yeah, like it's a funny joke.
Mm-hmm. Very amusing. You know, you just the entire thing is done with stock photos and Creative Commons photos of animals.
Mm-hmm.
Dancing, and you control your bear. Sometimes you control a couple of other things in the background, but it is just like literally like photo to photo, pose to pose. Mm-hmm. And my favorite joke in the entire thing is like when you press up and down, your bear will go into like different stances. Did you press down a bunch and he turned into a rug?
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's a funny. That's it a very
turns
funny
into joke. A bear into a bear rug.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. And it tells a little story. Mm-hmm. A bear goes into a disco dancing competition. He meets a lady. He throws her through a roof and is disgraced and immediately cuts to a funeral. That's my favorite joke. Yep. The hard cut to a black and white footage of the funeral. Then you are, you know, essentially Solid Snake racing sled dogs. Mm-hmm. You know, like you're in the woods. Just fast food containers are piling up and your friends are trying to get you to come out. You don't do it. Until eventually you had to come back and save the roller rink against the lone sharks.
Yep.
That's basically the game. I guess the other really funny joke at the end, when it turns out you have a kid and you just swear and then like, that's it. Like it's, there's no emotional resonance. There's like, fuck, I don't need this. Yeah. Disco Stew doesn't need cubs, you know? and that is literally the experience.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even though we summed it up, it's still worth going and playing because, you know, the presentation is, I think, 3/4 of the charm of this.
Yeah.
As opposed to the incident, you know? I love the stock photos for some reason that really speaks to me.
It's very funny. Like it's very like, I'm kind of surprised, like reading about this online, like you don't get your normal kind of game fact stuff, but it's really well documented because it was part of this project through like a university, mm-hmm. and it got submitted to you know, like Fantastic Arcade,
mm-hmm.
Things like that in Austin, Texas. Like, and it's just kind of interesting. Like, it feels like, not that, like, I understand, like, even like I love a simple game, I love like a modest game,
yep.
that is there to express one idea or one joke or something like that. I am legitimately a little surprised by the reaction to this, you know, because it's not that it's bad or anything like that. I'm kind of surprised by the like the degree, like the reaction, like this, like got nominated as like a best of E3 thing.
Huh.
And it was in 2017. So it's not too long ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I tend to associate things that are kind of one joke, that get that kind of thing with being, like a lot of the stuff, like the odd controller scheme.
Oh, the things, old control, you know? At GDC. Yeah.
Like that kind of, like things that are like a little bit, and this sounds damning, but like neater than this.
Mm-hmm.
Like this is funny and this is cute and the presentation is fun and I have no regrets. I played it. I'm glad I saw it and stuff.
Yeah.
It's not like there's almost nothing here.
It's
really weirdly empty.
It's slight enough that it feels like it slips into a different category, like through it, like through the cracks. Yeah.
And that doesn't make it bad.
No, it's
good. Like it's a good game.
You know, if this is a product, I have no idea what university program this came out of, but like, this is like something that I would have done in like a new media class as opposed to like in a game design class when I was when I was doing stuff in college. It's expertly done. The music is really good, like fake disco songs that sound kind of like things, you know.
They sound. I thought they like. Yeah. I until the end, until it had a composer credit, I was sure
it was just MIDIs.
Yeah, these were just MIDIs of stuff that I'd heard before.
Yeah.
The credits are funny. Oh, as yeah. well, like they use that opportunity to tell jokes, which I appreciate. And it has a little bit of Game Facts energy because they think the tiny coffee they used.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's a Game Facts move right there.
Yep. My favorite credit is, did we forget anyone? And then just like, I hope not.
Yeah. Just send the credit to, I hope not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, this is neat. I'm happy to have known it, but like again, it is so slight that I don't know if I'm going to carry it forward like I will a senpai, you know?
Yeah. It felt like the consensus thing that I feel like a clash is like, it is good to have a non-ambitious product.
Yes.
This feels uniquely non-ambitious to me and got the accolades of something that's ambitious, which is a different access than whether it's like worth playing. You know, like still worth playing, still good.
Well, 1 minute here, Gary. Oh, wait, there we go. Sorry. No, a tab on my YouTube or a YouTube tab just started playing automatically while you were talking.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No worries. Was it a good YouTube?
Yeah, it was an old Amiga game commercial that somebody linked me to. People still heard, but I didn't hear you. So
no worries. As long as they heard it. And listeners, this will be our secret.
Yeah.
From Cole. So he doesn't real-time edit this. There's literally Cole will never hear this, and he'll never know the terrible, terrible things I said.
Yeah, no.
Like this is when I confessed that I have a dick tattoo.
Oh.
And does that mean a tattoo of a dick or a tattoo on my dick?
I mean, I was about to say nobody knows, but it's just me.
The listeners know.
Well, the listeners absolutely know.
But, you know, and in my will, I have it set up to tell you when I die. But you'll have to wait for that, or we'll enter into a two-person tong teen, where the last person
to die gets to know this,
excuse me, yeah, dong teen. Thank you. I'm very mad at myself for not saying that. It's very good.
But anyway, maniacs.
Yeah, you get to find out that I have Cole tattooed on my fuck. Damn it! Damn it! Damn it!
This is a small enough team. Should we say the names of the people who made this?
Sure.
Yeah. Brian Handy and Kate Pustolsky were the designers and developers, and Bill Piatet, I believe, is the composer. So
yeah. Yep. Good stuff.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's all I got. I appreciate from time to time getting a secret good game on here.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciate it. I like having a short game.
Yeah.
Sometimes a secret good game with one joke does make this tricky. So we're very lucky because we have we've been blessed as a network.
Yeah. So people might sometimes listen to this show and be impressed by the amount of research that we do in terms of chasing down particular characters. Your Cricks and your M. Dickies and things like that, going and doing some archaeology. It's something I'm proud of for the show. But that doesn't stop when we're not recording.
Yeah. Sometimes in real life,
sometimes
we have an abject suffering moment, is what I like to call them.
Yeah. Sometimes it just rolls up. Like it did for me yesterday when I drove to the gas station to get a pop, and what pulls up next to me but a star-spangled van.
You got it. So America, walk me through it. America van pulled up.
America van pulled up, and all I could see, because it was a big white panel van that had stars and stripes all over it, I was like, okay, what is this? And I see this man get out. Just looks like a middle-aged dude. A lot of scruff. He walks in. And I was like, okay, what is this? I get out and look at the van, and apparently this van belongs to a daredevil.
Mm-hmm. So already I just want everyone who's like listening to recognize how rare that is.
How rare daredevils are.
Yeah. I've never met a daredevil. Have you ever met a daredevil?
Do
you ever have a close brush with a daredevil before this?
No. Not on the circles that I run in. Yeah. No.
I never see a daredevil.
No. I generally run with a more mild crew. And so, I look, because I mean, this is just the beat, and the van's beat to shit too.
Yeah.
I should probably say, like, this isn't a brand new van. The decal work, it's got a little bit of the energy of like that pipe bomber who had all those QAnon things like plastered all over his van, but it was just,
you know, that pipe bomber.
Yeah, you know, the one in Hellworld. Yeah. I look at it, and this is, before I say who this is, and before I give any more details, people need to promise to be cool.
Yeah.
We're
not trying to sick people on this guy.
No.
You know, and he's not, you know, like, this person is not evil.
He's not bad.
What we're going to do is we're sharing a secret with you. And the secret is that the tattoo that I have on my dick starts with the letter K.
Okay.
The second tattoo we're starting, the second tattoo is the letter O. And the third secret we're sharing is about this. And we're sharing you a little secret with you. But when we say you have to promise to be cool, we mean it.
Yeah.
Do not brigade this guy, because, you know, ordinarily, like an M. Dickey or something like that, I don't care if people email that guy.
Yeah.
You know, this is too local.
It is hyper local. So I'm also going to say, if you look up details, you're going to see where I live. So also be cool.
Everyone knows where I live.
Yeah, that's
like everyone knows the town I live. You
live in a big city is the thing. I live in this tiny
restaurants I live in to go to and stuff. I think people, if somebody wanted to hunt me for sport, they could. Don't hunt me for sport.
Please don't hunt me for sport. I've been a little bit calm. And additionally, I also want people to understand, like, occasionally I'll tweet about somebody who is incredibly extra. And say, mm-hmm. like, you know, who to the person who is doing burpees down, doing shirtless burpees down by the train track, keep it up, because I expect great things from you. When I tweet about those people, it is because I admire them for living their truth. I admire Madman. I admire Michael Madman Porter.
Yeah. So we're talking about Michael Madman Porter today on this episode of Abject Suffering.
Yeah.
Who is a daredevil.
Yes.
Or was a daredevil.
It's unclear.
At one point,
he dared the devil.
Yes. There is a video about him on his website about his, like, daredevilness.
It's not his website. It is his Facebook page, because I looked on the back, and, you know, it talks about the amazing flying Lincoln. Okay. Yep. Referring to, like, a late 80s Lincoln town car. It's an 89 just white Lincoln that is, again, done up in America colors, that has Madman written on the side of it. If you go to the flyinglincoln.com,
the amazing flying Lincoln, Facebook classifies it as a public figure.
Yes.
So this amazing flying Lincoln,
and again, is a public figure. Just urging people to be cool. It is a public figure that only 54 people like.
Yeah, so like this on Facebook if you want to get updates. I do. He hasn't updated since 2014 when he lost the dream.
Yeah.
But he made himself a little sizzle reel, like a promo, for a possible reality show.
Should I just cut in the audio entirely?
Yeah, I think we can vamp for 3 minutes of this. And also, there's, like, really amazing shit in this. So, yeah, let's do that. So listen to this, and we'll be back.
I'm Michael Madman, America's newest daredevil. As a kid, I was obsessed with Evel Knievel, and all I wanted to do was grow up and be just like him. Back when I was 13 years old, I had this idea that I was going to set the new distance jumping record for a bicycle, so I wrote the Guinness Book of World Records and ended up sending me a reply letter back. Dear Mr. Porter, thank you for your letter regarding bicycle jumping. I am sorry to tell you that we still will not list this record, as it is too dangerous. I can't tell you how disappointing this letter was to me. After college, I got a job. I ended up getting married. I got a family of my own now. But you know what? My dream of being a daredevil never died.
Mike is so annoying.
That's all he would talk about. He never shut up about being a stupid daredevil.
Do your stupid job already.
Do I quit my job? Do I put my crew together? Dave, my brother.
Break the flute talk world record. That's why we're here.
My next door mechanic.
When Porter come in to ask me about jumping this car, I said, you are crazy.
My best friend, Ed, who sold me the car in the first place. Everybody in the town supported me, from my neighbors, especially my friends, even the local businesses.
I know, Michael the Madman, I designed his stunt uniform for him.
Hi, my name is Ken Davis. I'm with Richardson Davis Funeral Home, and I'm a proud sponsor of Madman Mike Porter. I told him, you know, I'll either give you a casket, an urn, or money. And crazy Madman Mike, he took the money. He
came to me years ago and asked me to put a roll cage in his car, and of course we all looked at him kind of funny and thought he was nuts.
Stuntmen use mathematicians to figure out their stunts and make sure it's safe. Daredevils come up with the idea, they look at it, stand back, and go, I think I can make that.
Okay, this is the point in the video when he jumps over the handful of vans, just so you know.
Now I want to be part of every fair in the Midwest. I'm Michael Madman, and this is American Daredevil. Millions of people living
this world. So, it starts off okay.
Yeah.
You know, like, say, Evel Knievel, like, I get it. Like, I think if you were, like, going to ask me, you know, hey, name two Daredevils, you know, one of them would be Evel Knievel.
Right.
The other one would be Super Dave, I guess, but that's it. Those are the only ones I know. And now Madman.
Right.
But, like, what an amazing, and just, like, so, you know, four likes, you know, not a very popular Daredevil.
No. The cast of characters that he rolls out in this, like the incidental crew who I guess, like, when the camera crews descend on Galleon, Ohio.
Yeah.
We're just going to have you, like, follow around the funeral director friend that I have.
The funeral director friend who offered him a casket, cremation or money. And he took the money.
Right.
This whole thing has the cadence of a Jimmy's Chicken Shack video.
Yeah.
And at one point you get to, you know, you see all those people. I think that one of the duck feed fates is for the two of us to marry Madman's comely daughters.
Well, his daughters.
Should we join our empires?
I think we ought to. I think that if we're talking about the forces of good and evil, we need somebody. Yeah. We need somebody who will, ultimately fly the A-Wing into the Star Destroyer, which is what Madman's going to do.
Which we're not going to be able to
no,
do.
No.
You know, like, we're going to hang out.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to set out a podcast about the fucking empire.
Right. Yeah. Definitely. So just when we talk about this guy being a daredevil, what we have to, you know, so if you look for stuff online, there's only so much. It's all around one stunt that he did at the 2012 Crawford County Fair, where, you know, just at the fairgrounds, you know, on the horse track, he took his Lincoln around the track and he jumped over what appears to be five vans.
Yeah, he did five vans.
Yeah, it was only shot on a cell phone. Gary, is it impressive?
Yeah,
I wouldn't do it, but, like, just in terms of, like, this is worldwide notable.
Yeah, no, not worldwide. Okay, notable,
if you did this, would you drive a
van around? I would
talk
about it on the show.
Yeah, if you did this, you would talk about it on the show. Would you drive a van around for 7 years? The van that is the casket for your aspirational career.
No. I would not be like, this is my son. I conceived him 7 years ago. His name is Yump. You know, like, it wouldn't be that kind of thing. Like, I would not. And the modesty of this entire thing.
Yeah.
Like, when he does the jump in the video, like, four people stand up
and go, woo.
There's like a post on his Facebook page that I find very sad. Where it's like, where is it? Trying to raise money to build my own ramps so I can go for a 200-foot jump this spring. The Lincoln and I are ready. Need the ramps and venue.
Six likes.
It is just, there's something about this that is, like, breaks my heart in a really, like, good way, though. Like,
I mean, no,
in a way that,
you know what it is? It's American movie. It's American movie.
It's very American movie.
Yeah.
So he did that jump. He's always wanted to do this, as we've heard. He's got some comely daughters. They might be very young. I'm not trying to be gross. I just think it's the idea of joining our family is funny.
Joining the families is very funny. Also, this was shot, like, 7 years ago. So
yeah.
They're
so
probably
at the very
fine.
least, the great thing about Madman's daughters is I keep getting older. And they keep getting older.
Right, because that's how time works.
Yeah, because that's how time works.
But just now, they're very entertaining because, like, I mean, you heard them. Like, literally their line is, we're sick and tired of this daredevil shit. Our dad keeps saying, do your fucking job.
Take us to the big city.
Yeah.
That is what is happening here. Like, you know, so there's more to the madman story, though. So he's got this lost glory and stuff. So before we move on from the stunt section of Madman.
I mean, we should talk about, like, kind of the ultimate fate of the Flying Lincoln.
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely. We have to talk about the thing. But in terms of stunts, just real quick.
Uh-huh.
What do you think, like, if right now, what do you think is the best stunt you could do?
Just fall over.
I think I could jump on a trampoline with some practice. I think that if, like, you gave me some time alone with it in, like, a very safe room with lots of helmets and stuff, I could get a couple trampoline jumps, you know, upwards of 4 feet, maybe with enough time.
Right.
You know, I could do that. I think I could do a forward, like, rolling somersault.
Mm-hmm.
Still, it might hurt. Like,
it would destroy your wrists. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like, no. Not that somersault. What's the kind when you just do it on the ground?
Oh, yeah.
And you just roll forward. Like, you put your head on the ground and then kind of, like, flip you onto your back.
Right, right. You just destroy your neck and we can't record for a month.
Yeah. There might be a popping sound.
Yeah.
And that might be, you know, then it's like, well, you know, there I go.
Uh-huh.
But, like, I think I would complete the motion.
Yeah.
Yeah, at this point. could not do a somersault. You know, could not do a handstand kind of somersault. I think those are the two that I got.
Yeah, no, I would try something. I would fall over and people wouldn't know what I was trying to do.
It'd be very funny if we did, and we're not going to do this, but if we had a section of Duckfest that was the Gary and Cole stunt spectacular and just, like, pulled out, like, a little trampoline and just, like, just did a few jumps and you fell down and then the curtains closed.
Just closed like half over me, like my exposed legs are just twitching,
and they just get dragged in. Somebody like Will comes out with a broom and pushes them under the thing.
Yeah, the video of the jump is hilarious because, you know, he goes over, and I'm positive that if I was there and watching that, he'd be like, holy shit, because I would hear the sound or whatever. And if I was in that car, like, man, you know, like the Dukes of Hazzard, they had like a hydraulic launch that did this. Like, I'm sure it feels and is dangerous. It just doesn't look that impressive on a cell phone video. What's very, very funny is he goes around the track again, and you can hear people like in the stands, like, saying, like, all right, well, what are we going to go do now? Do you want to go like hit up the Sticks concert down the road?
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like, oh, is he going to do it again? Cause he's circling around, like, oh my God, he's coming around to do it again.
Yeah.
And then, like, they're just arguing about whether or not it's just his victory lap.
Yeah, yeah. It's very specific. It's like, and that's his official promotional.
Yep.
Footage, which I think is just
posted again 2 years after the jump. A little history of the jump. Thank you to everyone who believed in me, sponsored me, and told me I was crazy. There are two comments, one of which is from Jeremy, says, my hero, and the other is from Curtis, which is just, do it again.
Do it again now.
He's trying to buy a ramp. Yump.
Do yump.
Do yump.
Yump now. So that's his thing. And his sizzle reel has a lot of other stunts that he's done, but there's no discretion between which ones are
him,
just famous stuntmen, and which ones are him, right? Because there's lots of Evel Knievel footage in there.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm watching a guy in a white suit with stars and stripes on it, I can't tell Madman from Evel Knievel.
Right.
In that. So I don't know who did it. What other stunts he's done other than this claim to fame where he got the little trophy for it.
In the in the sizzle reel, did you recognize the beginning of Black Betty?
Yeah. he's wearing a shirt at the end of it.
Uh-huh.
When he, like, points at the camera and does his call for action.
Now I want to be part of every fair in the Midwest.
When there's no more room in hell, the dead will walk tall.
Yep.
I think is what it says.
This is American Daredevil.
Oh, the dead will walk them all. It's
yeah.
Okay, yeah, it's a Dawn of the Dead.
Yep.
Thing. I liked it when there's no more room in hell, the dead will walk tall. Finally, they'll get their groove back. So Madman's story's not over.
No. So tragically, in September of 2014, someone did a hit and run on the Flying Lincoln.
Yeah.
I assume totaling it. There's a photo on there, and that is, I think, it is the last actual post, or no, near to the last post. The two straggling posts are just him, making, you know, just talking about his plans for new ramps.
And, there's a lot of ramp planning that got cut off.
Yeah.
Very sad. But Madman did not. He took a couple years off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you really get the story of this guy. He took 2 years off, exactly, 2014. in 2016, came back, and now he is a daredevil of the graphic design world, as he now does MadmanCom, MadmanCom Galleon.
Yep.
All your design needs, and makes signs. But he has not changed his branding at all.
Not at all.
Like, he's still, like, his photo is him with a skeleton shirt posing with his Madman helmet.
Yep.
In this. So he's banking the thing. This whole thing is so fucking like Christopher Guest quaint.
Yep.
You know, he's banking like on his glory of the jump to parlay that into a modest sign design business.
Gary, I drove by MadmanCom this morning when I was, when I took a shortcut back from the Tim Hortons.
Yeah, I love MadmanCom. I'm looking through these things, like these different, like, you know, menus and stuff he's made.
Yep.
Happy Hippie Honey Company.
Yep.
You know, H&K Watkins, like all kinds of stuff. Like, he's, you know, he can make a sign.
Yeah, absolutely. And with, yeah, what is very strange about this is he vacillates between like actually really good signs that, like, before I knew who Madman was, when I was just going up and down Galleon's uptown, I would look at the, you know, the hardware store sign and say, that's a good sign. I like that.
Yeah.
And like, he did that. It's good. But then there's this, like,
the Vicious Six.
Yeah. Then there's like this band branding that he does that is not good.
It's it's very, the Vicious Six is a lot. this logo, which is, a pair of angel wings made of lightning.
Mm-hmm.
Over an apocalyptic sky with the Vicious Six written in, like, a too human kind of font.
Yeah.
Maybe. With a V intersected with a six as the head of the angel of the lightning wings.
Yeah.
And it works with 3D glasses.
Absolutely. Yes.
So it can be viewed with classic red and blue lens 3D glasses.
And here's the thing. Sometimes you can, you know, it is not worth judging a designer for the choices of the client, right? This may be what the Vicious Six wanted.
It seems actually pretty likely.
Yeah.
The H&K Watkins,
mm-hmm,
Nature Bridge, they're like a vent or something.
Yeah.
Where you get to tan with Tater.
Yep.
That could be the client. The client could be like, listen, more Tater.
Yeah. We are reorienting into a Tater focused brand. Tater is a small mustachioed dog with a medallion and big shades.
Yep. He looks like a cop. He's like a cop, but with like a
cop dog,
you know, cop dog, somewhere in the city. but also is wearing this like medallion.
Yeah.
What is the tan with Tater? Do you know what Tater is as a citizen of this town?
No, I don't. Okay. I have never met out? Tater. I will go to H.K. Watkins again. It's just right on that main drag. It's a really cool little uptown. But I have not encountered Tater or heard tell of Tater.
I would like you to work yourself into a real sweat.
Okay.
And walk in and slam like $13.04 on the desk and go, tell me about Tater. And see what happens.
Just
like, Tater. Now.
Just like don't straight up say it, but just, you might have my demeanor and just the way I say things, just really, really communicate that time is a factor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah,
need no Tater.
missing Tater, so, need Tater.
Yeah, missing Tater needs Tater. Yeah. On the official page for this business, somebody said something about Tater. It showed up on Google because I was trying to find out more about Tater.
Okay.
It's one of the recommendations. Someone
I feel
like,
very exposed.
Yeah, I mean, you're not Tater.
Okay.
You don't have to worry about it. The Tater doesn't show up there. It's hard to see that. So it's one of the reviews of that place. Sad, but exciting to see the Tam with Tater logo on the windows. Someone said,
oh, Tater might be deceased. Tater is an old Tater mascot. Died. Yeah.
Yeah. Now it'd be very sad for you to go up and, you know, and
tell
say
me
that.
Where, like, Tater's buried.
Yeah. Give me Tater. Like, I need to, like,
RIP Tater.
Better. The like, can you bring Tater to a place where a man's heart is stonier? I'm trying to prove a point.
Yeah. It just blows my mind that this guy made all the signage for the hardware store I go to every week.
It blows my mind that you're going to a hardware store every week.
Yeah, you just want to see what's new.
Okay. Yeah, okay. The awesome people in store. My 3-year-old has terrible allergies along with eczema. Nothing seems to give him relief. We've tried lotions after lotion, ointment, steroid creams, essential oils.
Unguents, liniments.
Last night, hesitantly, I tried the honey oatmeal bath bomb. And besides leaving a great smell, his skin is so soft. He told me the bad patches are gone. I only got 2, so I need to place an order immediately. All right.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So this place that he made that had Tater is also a tanning place. That's where the tanning is for Tater, and also mm-hmm. you get bath bombs there.
Yeah, it's like a natural, almost like a locally owned like Bath and Body Works kind of thing.
Gotcha.
Spotlight, almost like a spa kind of deal.
Yeah. Also he made a thing for the Riverside drive-through gun store.
So I need to talk about this because okay. I am not a frequent customer, let's say a regular customer, of the Riverside, drive-through.
Okay.
So this is a place I've talked about this on enough than like SSA Iraq. No, I don't own any guns. The Riverside drive-through is kind of crazy, because it is, a drive-through, like a drive-through convenience store. On one side that also sells liquor and guns. If you walk in the front door, and then there's also a deli. So like when you roll up, like you can just buy all of these things in the same place that is it's not by a river. It is by the stream that eventually becomes the Olentangy River. But you will go there. It is the Riverside, and you just run up and like, okay, I'll take a 6-pack of Great Lakes Burning River. And also, can I trade you this 22?
That's really weird.
And like I don't want to do is give like the wrong impression of the town in which I live, because yes, it's rural, but not
it's,
like,
well, it's fun, full of gun crazy maniacs who hate minorities, like I understand. We all get it. You don't have to say anything about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we understand.
Yeah, I just I don't yeah. There's just like that detail.
The coward who murdered Tater will never be brought to justice.
Yeah, like there are parts of the town that are kind of like that, but generally it's just a quiet Midwestern town that is not that is not at all what you would think of when you think of a drive-through liquor and gun store.
Yeah. Well, it's weird. That stuff's very pernicious anyway.
Yeah.
You know, that just shows up. Like you go anywhere, like I went to the coast recently, and like there you pass like a bunch of not drive-through gun stores, because you can wait a moment to get a gun.
Yep.
You can get out of the car for a fucking gun.
People get surprised when they find out that you could just like in Ohio, you can just drive through a building and they will sell you in, like they will hand through your car window, a 6-pack of cold beer.
Yeah. And a 6-pack of cold Glocks.
Yes.
Cold steel. yeah. I find that very strange, but anyway, just it says more probably about me than it does about anything else, that like, I just find it real weird that you can just walk into a store and say like, one gun please.
Yes.
And then like come out with a gun.
Mm-hmm.
No. I have a story to tell as well.
Okay.
Since we're clearing out stories. I know this episode is like running on time, but we probably have time for this.
Mm-hmm.
I went on a little weekend vacation, trip this last weekend to Rockaway Beach, Oregon, birthplace of the corn dog.
Yeah, and yet you had no corn dog.
And yet I had no corn dogs. It's a Harlan Ellison sequel. it just didn't work out. It wasn't corn dog o'clock. Like we could have had a breakfast corn dog, but neither of us were feeling like a breakfast corn dog.
No, sure. Breakfast corn dog might actually be pretty good.
Maybe. Yeah. Like a sausage. Like if you put like a breakfast sausage instead of a hot dog in there, that'd be great.
And dip it in some syrup. Yeah.
It is not only the home of the corn dog, the first corn dog, but it's also the only mechanical riding corn dog in America.
Okay.
So we passed that, just going and doing beach stuff. We went to the aquarium the day before, which was real fun. It's great. Went up and like walked around a little beachside town. That was fun.
No.
The most noteworthy thing that happened was we went and spent some time in the hotel pool. And I really only like being in a pool alone.
Want to think about the soup you're making with somebody else.
It's not even the soup. It's just kind of weird. Like it feels like I'm doing it with them even when I'm not.
Yeah.
You know, like it's just like me and Emma are on one side of the pool, like hanging out. And then these other the four people.
Yeah.
Extremely weird people.
It's like when you go to a barbecue place and you end up having to share the big table with like another
family.
Exactly
like, that.
We're not,
like, I don't like sitting down and eating communally with. It's like, oh, it's like a chance to meet a friend. It's like, well, I didn't come here to meet a friend. I came here to eat and talk to my friend I brought.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the point. I don't want to, you know, don't necessarily want to be open to this new experience or whatever.
There are people who need friends. I don't need a friend.
Exactly.
Go talk with them.
Yep. Four people in the thing.
Okay.
Two of them, the youngest, a guy and a girl, who would not for anything stop dry humping in this pool. And I understand it's hard to dry hump in a pool because of all the water. But the only way I know how to describe the non-penetrative sex they were having right next to me.
So
not next to me, but practically next to me, the same, even more intimate than the same room.
Yeah, no, you're sharing a medium together, and so you're not just witnessing daring daylight frottage. You feel a party to it in a way because of the medium that connects you.
And as I describe it, I feel insane that it's going to seem like why didn't you leave? It just we wanted to get in the pool. We were leaving.
Why should you leave if they suck?
Well, I mean because. Because this girl is getting extremely fucking lubricated and I'm swimming through it. Like, there's really good arguments to leave. I just didn't. Pre-cum? That's our argument to leave. And I just didn't. And part of me is like, I feel like with a pool, it's like, this is not the first person who's come in this pool.
Right.
Like, I'm being naive if I think this is the only semen that I'm swimming through.
Yeah.
You know?
That day.
Exactly. Like, essentially, I'm going to shower after this. It's fine. I just really wanted to be in the shower, so this weirdness didn't put us off. But we were in there for an hour and 15 minutes, like pretty, hour and 20 minutes, quite a while. These people were there when we got there. They left maybe 10 minutes before we left. So for like an hour, just dry humping, just fucking grinding genitals through swimsuits. They take like brief breaks, kind of reposition.
Were they talking?
If so, very quietly. They were making out. They weren't just doing it in one place. They would do that and they would break for like these activities I'm gonna tell you about. There was
activities like what, pin the tail on the donkey?
We'll get to it.
Okay.
There was a third person. It was a very androgynous person. I don't know how they would identify, who had a voice who talked like one of the other's creatures from Oz. Like had this it might have had the disease they based that on, that like throat thing.
Okay.
But kept talking about needing tea. Like iced tea, but no one would answer her. And I'm like,
why are you ignoring your
these people? And just like, I need to get the iced tea, you know, and no one would say anything. And this was all while she was just kind of swimming back and forth and lounging and everything like that.
Yeah.
And the vocal inflection made it seem, desperate.
But was this a grown person who could have gone and gotten tea?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Like, early 20s, mid 20s, maybe. The other people, the dry humpers, are also mid 20s. Then there was a guy who's maybe 50. Think of my build, but hairless. And who was proctoring a couple of contests, including holding your breath
for kids, like trying to keep kids occupied.
No, these are all 20-year-olds. Like his whatever the relationship is between this crew, he was proctoring for these mid 20 year olds.
Okay.
How long they could hold their breath, and doing kind of contest with it, including the two dry humpers in question. The lady held her breath by sticking her face underwater down by the dude's crotch, and I don't think anything was going on down there. I feel like underwater blowjobs are the place of. Austin Powers movies. Like, I don't think that actually happens, really.
Right, right.
I mean, I suppose it could, but like, God, what a nightmare, you know?
Nothing new under the sun.
Like, yeah, yeah, but it seems, I bet you that doesn't happen that often. And like, not in a well-lit hotel with strangers, while under the pretense of holding your breath. I mean, maybe she might have there might have been some like diddling or something as part of this. It might have just been like, I'm close to your dick.
Like, yeah, it sounds like that. Hey, Gary, was this a pool or was it that party that Kyle MacLachlan was taken to at Blue Velvet?
It had some Blue Velvet energy to
it. Okay.
At one point, the guy, the proctor, the old guy,
the
hairless proctor was jumping. I think Dark Souls title card was jumping up and down and going boom, boom
in the water.
boom with every time he jumped. Like, yeah, while the two kids, like, dry humped and the tea wanter is off on the side wanting tea. It was, I felt like a bunch of spare parts from People and Personalities had, like, fallen in the field or something. And I kept, like turning around. I'm like, what are these people doing? You know, and like, she's like, I don't know.
Is this just a part where the simulation didn't load all the way?
I was totally expecting them all to, like,
just T-pose and, like, to, like, rise into the sky.
Rise out. Scoot out and then like look down and I'm in like a biomechanical slurry, you know, like it was shocking, the whole thing, and just surprising, very weird. And you know, I was trying to find out what their deal was.
Well, like, really, so hard. I mean, so here's my question, like, what were you doing?
Because in the pool,
I mean,
yeah, so the other side of the pool.
You're on the other. Okay, so is there a shallow side? Is there a shallow and deep end divide?
Yes, that is going. Yes. It's a small pool. It's like a 4 foot and a 6 foot.
Okay,
it goes 4 foot to 6 foot as a gradient.
Okay,
you know, and mostly we stayed out in the 4 foot section or the 6 foot section, and they stayed out in the 4 foot section.
Gotcha.
And like I get, so like I have been that horned. For the life of me, I was like, why don't these adults just go fuck somewhere?
Yeah.
Like, people just dry humping for an hour?
That,
like,
just...
go goddamn nut. Like, go nut.
Just so nut. You can focus. Like, get on with your day.
God, like, why are you putting... And the fact that their two companions were just, like, eating and abetting this and coming up with breath-holding games to, like...
Yeah.
Be part of their dark foreplay. I was just, like, really, really weirded out by it. I was just like, why are you edging yourself, and why are you doing it in my presence?
I would be mortified if my friends were simulating sex next to me in a pool.
I would have a really hard time with it.
Yeah.
Like, I just imagining, like, it's just, like, hanging out with two of my buddies, and it's just like, well, they're just dry humping.
Over the course of a literal hour.
Yeah, a literal hour. Like, sometimes at, like, a party, like, two people make out, and it looks like it's getting really heavy. They're at a bar or something.
Yeah.
And it's like, I get that. Like, everyone's been drinking.
And you know, that's a thing, being so deep in the feeling that you forget the world's there. That's fine. Understandable. I recognize that's a thing I understand humans do.
Yeah. You're just unreasonably horned.
Yes.
You know, irrevocably horned. Get it. No problem with being that horned. Love it. Get horned. Yeah. The thing that is just weird to me about it is, like, why you wouldn't just go, like, make out for realsy.
Right.
You know, instead of this weird, and you know, maybe they're into it.
An exhibition. Yeah.
That made it exposition, but we weren't there when we started.
Right.
And they definitely knew the other people there. So if it's exposition, it's definitely like, you know, you exhibiting to one of your friends, maybe they're part of the whole thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. So how did this end?
It ended with them leaving the pool.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, they're leaving the pool, presumably.
Okay, Junji.
Yeah. Well, I didn't write the event. It's like that happened to me.
Okay.
It ended with them leaving the pool and us hanging out for another 20 minutes before grabbing dinner at a charming little bar.
Yeah.
Bar and grill.
Cool.
I got no corn dogs.
No corn dogs at all.
No corn dogs allowed.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was the big thing.
Huh.
Yeah. And I'm happy because on the way back, I went to the Tillamook Smokehouse Outlet store and bought a felonious amount of meat for $30. So I have all this dried meat. They have 2 foot sticks, Cole. 2 foot sticks are $1.50, dude.
I mean, that sounds amazing. There's a, I wonder if it's still open. There's a place a little up the road for me called Grandpa's Cheese Barn. That does a similar. It's kind of a, it's like famous in North Central Ohio terms because it's called Grandpa's Cheese Barn, but they do similar stuff. I could go get two feet of meat. When you buy an unreasonable amount of stuff, do you ever like play a game where you pretend that you're smuggling it?
No.
No, you never think like, I hope we don't get pulled over.
Yeah, no, I did not worry about that.
Okay. you don't do a little cannonball run?
No, I should have done a cannibal run and just like just dove from rooftop to rooftop with my smuggled teriyaki flattens. We stopped at the town Tillamook and ate some food, and they were showing on the TV there an MTV show called Ridiculousness. which is like an America's Funniest Home Videos thing. It's like one of the, it's like Tosh, like an attempt to launder the internet for TV.
Right, right.
You know, but it's raised by like a kid who looks like a cloning accent of Michael Rapaport more than anyone I've ever met. Okay. Or seen. Like he's like such a Rapaport. And it reminded me how much I dislike that kind of thing. Cause it's just, you know, some guy's trying to drive a three wheeler, accidentally runs over his friends, and then it's paused and you know, stars of MTV reality shows are making fun of them.
Yeah. Just draft reactions like, oh dang.
It's exactly. And then yeah. just, you know, little circling the guy in the back who's watching is like, this guy's like, what's even going on?
Yeah,
should I call the hospital? Cause someone just got ran over.
Yeah.
You know,
it's like, yeah, no, like the none of us planned this. That's kind of yeah. thing. No, just like, that's MTV trying to like ape like a British panel show. They do that in Japan too. Like if you watch Terrace House, they always have the panel reacting to it, you know, of just like famous, you know, famous television presenters and stuff. But here it's just the MTV shitty version.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was bad.
Blah.
So fun vacation.
Yeah. The ending of the Michael Madman story is that we were both in the convenience store at the same time. He bought a Slim Jim with some change in front of me, and I bought my pop, and we went our separate ways. Him and his Daredevil branded van that is beat to shit, 7 years out of date because there is no evidence that he's ever done another stunt, and I think that's. I think that's a waste. I think yeah. that he could, cause his plan, like if you read the news article, he wanted to be the family friendly, budget friendly stuntman, the family friendly, budget friendly, Daredevil, and go to kind of be the Buffalo of stunts.
But without the like human saint.
Yes.
Energy. Yeah. Like we like Madman, but let's not get crazy.
No. But I mean, just like running the Midwestern County Fair circuit. That is what I mean.
Yeah. Any, what is the quote that you sent me where it's like, if I see something, I want to jump over it. It's just how my mind
it's,
works.
It's just the person that I am.
It's
the person that I am. I see something and I'm like, I want to jump that.
Powerful. and bring that into the advertising industry. The sign making industry is just very, very sweet.
Yeah.
So thank you, Doug.
Yeah.
Thanks for supporting, suggesting a bear.
What we were doing here.
No, it's okay. We have the big guns for when there's not a whole lot of game stuff.
Yeah.
Bring them out. We appreciate it. Is this a regular episode or a premium?
This is a regular episode.
So thanks everybody for listening.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to get extra episodes of this or you want to support the show or dictate an episode, you can do so by going to our Patreon and go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv.
Mm-hmm.
You should also go to duckfeed.tv/duckfest. Yeah. Come watch this show, among others, live.
Yeah.
It's going to be very good and fun.
Yes. A whole day of Duck Feed programming and guests mm-hmm. in Portland, Oregon, August the 31st.
Yeah. We really want to see you there. So yeah. Grab tickets, treat yourself to a little vacation.
Yeah.
Hit up some Portland in the summer. Even if it is hot, it hasn't been hot here, but even if it is hot, air conditioned theater, baby.
Yeah.
Eat some milk duds, drink some soda and beer if you are a day drunk. Mm-hmm. There are beers available. You can come in at 9:30 and drink a beer.
The beer flows like wine.
We've hired a teen to take yep. tickets. Come check it out. It's our first teen that we've hired. You know, so you want to see that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Please be kind to the teen.
Oh, yeah. You had to, like, by all means, you have to be nice to this teen.
Please. Yes.
Yeah. But come see the teen. They're going to be in a ticket booth like a human zoo. Come check them out. Free ganders.
Yeah. 2 bits.
Free.
Yes.
Ganders.
Free. Yes.
Sorry.
I was trying to dip my snoot in the till, skim some off the top for Papa, you know,
the funny, like accessory, like Target, like sign. Free ganders, 2 bits.
Free. Anyway.
Yeah. So, until next time, watch out for Mad Dog.
Until next time. Rest in peace, Tater.
Rest in peace, Tater Dog.